Chapter 7. Knowledge of the Absolute. Hey Partha, now try to hear how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with your mind attached to me, you can know me completely, free from doubt. I will fully reveal to you this knowledge, both material and spiritual. Once you know this, there will be nothing further for you to know. Very few have this knowledge. Out of many thousands of men, only one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved it, only one knows me in truth. Now that I have your attention, I will tell you the 8 types of material energies. They include earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. But besides these, Arjun, there is another superior energy of mine. It is superior because of consciousness, and because it uses the material energy for its enjoyment. These are the living entities. Both of these energies come from me, and they cause everything else. Therefore, I am the cause of all. There is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me, as pearls are strung on a thread. Please hear how everything is strung upon me. I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, and the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether, and I am the ability in man. I am the original fragrance of the earth. I am the heat in fire, the life of all that lives. I am the penances of all ascetics. Know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. Whatever you see, you should know, comes from me. There is no limit to this, for everything is under my control. Everything, whether of goodness, passion, or ignorance, comes from my energy. But I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature. Rather, they are under me. O Krishna, everything comes from you, but why are people unaware of this fact? Arjun, because they are deluded by the 3 modes of material nature. Therefore, they do not know me, because I am above the modes. How can the living entities cross over these 3 modes of nature, Krishna? It is difficult, Arjun, because this energy is divine and it belongs to me. It is like 3 ropes that are interwoven into one, which makes it very strong and very difficult to cut through. There is only one solution, but one must have faith in me and surrender. Then only can they cross over it easily. Krishna, you say that those who surrender can cross beyond bondage. Then why don't all intelligent people surrender to you? Arjun, those who are foolish and proudly think themselves scholars are actually bewildered. They are like the blind leading the blind. They never surrender. Of these, there are 4 kinds. First is the mudha, who is like an animal, attached to the fruits of his work. He thinks that I am bound by karma like he is. He never takes time to hear about me, but prefers to hear mundane topics, which is like a hog eating stool. Second are the Naradama, who are socially and politically developed, but have no religious principles. They are born in a good family, but they become attached to mundane poetry and other subjects. Thus, they do not take to the goal of life. Next is a class called Mayapritagyana. They are mostly very learned fellows, but the illusory energy misguides them. They follow atheistic Sankhya and think that the creation is caused by material nature. They see that nature and not me as the controller, even though the Vedas clearly explain this. The last rascal takes shelter of the demoniac nature He hates me and wants to kill me, like Jarasandha. All these rascals have some knowledge, but still, they do not surrender to me. Hey, Vasudev, who are the people that do surrender? Arjun, there are also four kinds of men who begin to render devotional service to me. The first one is the distressed, who has had some calamity, sickness in the family, or some other problem, and who desires to get rid of it. Next is the one who wants wealth, opulence, or land. He wants pleasure in this world or in the next. The third type is the inquisitive one, and his object is self-realization, or Sanskrit grammar, or logic. These are men of discrimination, who are better than the previous two, but still they have desires. These three are called Sakam Bhaktas. They surrender, but have desires. The last kind is the Jnani, the one in knowledge. He knows that he is a spirit soul, that there is a super soul, and that he is part and parcel of the Supreme. He also has desires, but not material desires. Rather, he wants liberation. He is therefore called Nishkam. He performs bhakti to obtain liberation, but when he surrenders to me, it is out of love. Out of these four, who is the best, Krishna? Of these, the one who is in full knowledge, the Jnani, who is always engaged in pure devotional service, is the best, Arjuna. Why is that? Because he is always in union with me in one-pointed devotion. He has no distress or desire for money, so his meditation can be continuous. He is always absorbed in me, and his attention does not stray to anything else. Although I am all-knowing, I cannot measure his love for me. All I can say is that he loves me very much, and thus I love him in return. Krishna, the Jnanis are attached to you and worship you out of fear of losing their knowledge, isn't it? No, Arjuna. Their main objective is devotion. Knowledge is secondary. Therefore, they are Jnanis in name only. They are not like the Jnanis who practice devotion for obtaining knowledge. Rather, this type of Jnani has great attraction for my beautiful blackish form. Those others who practice devotion for knowledge think that knowledge is higher than devotion. Therefore, they give up devotion when they attain liberation. It's obvious that the Jnani is dear to you, Krishna. But what about the other three? Are they not dear to you? Those who come to me and worship me to ask for something, I give it. So they are also dear to me, because out of love they have asked me for something that they need. But the Jnani is like my very self. He never asks nor desires anything, neither heaven nor liberation. Therefore, he is under my protection. The Jnani has rejected impersonal liberation and has made my beautiful form his destination. That is his resolve. As one cannot exist without one's own body or intelligence, so I cannot exist without him. You say that the Jnani obtains you, Krishna, but how long does he actually take to become a devotee? Such a Jnani surrenders to me and comes to bhakti after many births, knowing me as everything. Such a great soul is very rare. Krishna, I have understood that those with material desires, in distress, or who want money, achieve their goal by rendering service to you. However, some people have similar problems but surrender to demigods. What is their situation? Their knowledge is taken away, Arjuna, because they think that their problems cannot be satisfied by Vishnu. Such a person who may have a disease will think that it will quickly be destroyed if he worships the sun god, but it won't happen if he worships Vishnu. Therefore, Rita Jnana, their intelligence is stolen. They do this because they are controlled by their lower nature. And because I'm in their heart as the super soul, when they desire to worship some demigod, I make their faith steady so that they can devote themselves to that particular deity and make believe that their demigod is supreme. So whoever wants to worship demigods, I give them faith in that deity. I create that faith in them. The demigods are not capable of doing it. Then, by that faith, they worship the demigod and obtain their desired goal by my grace. By worshiping the deity, they get the result. Because the demigods are my body, I grant their particular desires, even though the worshiper does not know that I am doing it. The results of these foolish people are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planet of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Hey Krishna, you are doing a big injustice to these people. They do the same amount of effort in worshiping their deities as do your devotees in worshiping you. To your devotees, you give an unlimited result because they go to the spiritual world where there is no end of pleasure. But these other people's result is limited, so this is an injustice. They perform the same amount of effort, but the result is different. I am not doing any injustice, Arjun. Devan Devaya Joyanti. They worship the demigods and they go to the demigods. And those who worship me come to me. Where's the injustice? It's just the rule. Those who worship demigods go to them. My worshipers come to me. When the demigods are themselves temporary and perishable, how can the result of their worship be permanent? Both the demigods and the results will be destroyed. Therefore, I say that the worshipers of these demigods are Alpamedhasa, less intelligent. But those who worship with the idea that these demigods are also expansions of me, then those results are not temporary. If they worship the demigods, understanding them as my bodily limbs, then they will come to the proper position. However, those who have no intelligence think that I am beyond nature, but have no form, and that my appearance in the house of Vasudev is an acceptance of a material form. They think that my appearance is illusory, not transcendental. Why do they think like this? They do not know that my form and pastimes are beyond the material nature and are all transcendental. Krishna, if you say that your form, qualities, and activities are eternal, why aren't they always seen by everyone? I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, Arjuna. For them I am covered by my yoga maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. But you should understand that neither external nor internal energy can cover my knowledge. Maya cannot cover its support. Although it covers them, it cannot cover me. Thus, I know everything, past, present, and future. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. Since when have the living entities become bewildered, Krishna? Since the beginning of creation, all of the living entities are bewildered, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. As soon as birth takes place, one becomes entangled and entrapped. Because of this ignorance, one becomes bewildered and attached. Those who have excessive attachment or excessive aversion cannot become a devotee. Then how does anyone ever become a devotee, Krishna? It seems so difficult. Those persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life have come to the end of their sins by the merciful glance of great devotees. Such devotees wander the earth to give mercy to pious souls. Therefore, they get strong faith and then understand me in truth and begin to render service to me with determination. I have explained how some devotees with material desires get those desires fulfilled and come to me. But there is another type of Sakam Bhakta, Arjuna. They are people who desire liberation from old age and death. They take shelter and worship my deity and are actually Brahman because they know everything about transcendental activities. After rendering service to me, they get to know me and become liberated. They do not attain devotion, though, for that is not their desire. However, those with full consciousness of me, who know me to be the governing principle of this material manifestation, of the demigods, and of all sacrifices, can understand and know me even at the time of death.